have fellowship and to hear the work of the Lord. As you know, this morning, people are not part of the church, and they're just on Facebook. We had a prophetic word during the week that we should anoint people and follow as we come into church. So we've done that. And so I thought it'd be good to speak on the anointing. What is the anointing? And there's a lot we can say about the anointing, but I thought I'd do an introduction to the anointing and what we find in the scriptures regarding the anointing. Now, the anointing can be both to inanimate objects or it can be to people. And the first reference in the Old Testament was for Aaron and for his sons. And they were anointed of oil for the purposes of God. But also, other places were anointed. In Genesis 31, 13, you read about Jacob. And he was at Bethel. And the Bible tells us that Jacob anointed the altar at Bethel. It was a place where he encounters with God, a holy place, and so he anointed it with oil. And he made a vow unto the Lord. When we go to Exodus 40 and verse 9, you'll read about the tabernacle and how they would take the anointed, the oil, and they would anoint the tabernacle. They would anoint the various holy things in the tabernacle. And all the vessels in the tabernacle, they were anointed by oil. And that was because they were being separated. They were separated for the purposes and for the purpose of the temple and the worship of God in the temple. And we know when the holy things from the temple were taken by Nebuchadnezzar and they brought them to Babylon. When Belshazzar came to the throne, he had an orgy and he decided to bring the holy things to defile them. And we know the story. In the midst of all the roaring and the here on the wall, a little finger starts to write. And that night, Belshazzar was weighed in the balances and found wanting. So the anointing is very important. And people are anointed with oil for various reasons. The Bible talks about people being anointed with oil because they receive the blessing of God. People who are anointed with oil receive the blessing of God. Other people, it is a call in that person's life for a particular purpose. There can be special purposes. Now, as you said, Aaron, in Exodus 29, it tells us about Aaron. You shall take the anointing oil and you'll pour it upon his head and anoint him. And we read about the anointing oil coming down Aaron and his beard. And his sons were anointed with oil. And they were anointed because they were to serve in the temple. They were separated. They were anointed for a special purpose. In 2 Kings 9, chapter 9 and verse 6, we read about Jehu. And we read about this young prophet who came. And he came to Jehu and he took him aside and he anointed him with oil and said, "You're going to be king. And I have anointed you for that purpose." And then the young prophet ran off. So he is called for a special purpose. And we anoint people because God is calling you to special purposes. The anointing is to bring you the blessing of God and to know that you have a special purpose. We also anoint people because the Bible tells us if any sick among you, they anoint with oil. The elders anoint with oil. So the anointing and using oil is all through the scriptures and their special purposes. Now, the anointing is, when we come to Jesus, it was the consecration of Jesus to his purposes that he was called to. The anointing is the enduring of power also upon the life of men and women when they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the other week there, we're talking about, the Bible says, these things shall follow them that believe. They'll cast out devils, they'll lay hands on the sick. For things to follow you, you need the anointing. For things to follow you, you need the anointing of God. You need that anointing because it is the power of God. And the power of God is His word. And the anointing, the Bible tells us, breaks the yoke. And so we need the anointing to do the purposes and the plans of the living God. And Strong's Dictionary, it gives us an idea what the anointing was for. It said it was for contact, to smear or rub oil on a person, and by implication to consecrate that person to a particular task, particular office, or particular religious duties. So the anointing was always important in Scripture. And the anointing we read about with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me." So Jesus was anointed. And He goes on to tell us what He was anointed to do. He was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. What's the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being born in flesh and taking our sins at Calvary. The gospel is the good news that God has come to save us who are under the bondage of sin. And the Bible says here, Jesus is anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He preaches the word to those in need. Nobody is excluded in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus comes anointed to preach to the poor. And then He goes on to say, "But He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." And people are brokenhearted because they lose those who are close to them, their loved ones, the things that happen in life that destroy them. And Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive. And we live in a day where people are captive to so many addictions, whether it's drugs, alcohol, pornography. The list is endless what people are addicted to and are captive to. And the Bible even goes on to tell us that Satan himself can come easily and take people captive. We read about it in the book of Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, how easy Satan can come and take a person captive. But the Bible says Jesus was anointed to set the captive free. The covering of sight to the blind and setting at liberty to them that are bruised. So the anointing is very all-encompassing. And we look to receive the anointing because we're called of God to bring deliverance to people, cast out devils, heal the sick. And so that anointing gives us the power to do the works that we're called to do. And Acts 4:27 says, "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed." Jesus is anointed of God. And the Bible tells us how in that hour Herod and Pontius Pilate, who were enemies, came together because they had a common purpose against the Lord. And it says, "Both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together." But Jesus was God's Son, anointed of God, to bring deliverance to the hearts of men and women. In Acts 10:13, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And because he was anointed, he is our example, because that's what the disciples were told. Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Until you receive that anointing and can go forth and do the same works as Jesus done. Now, when we go to the Gospels and we look at the Scriptures, Jesus spent time with his disciples. 3.5 years, basically, with the disciples, training them. They see the miracles. They can ask any question they want to ask. But when Jesus is risen from the dead and ascended to heaven, those same disciples went everywhere speaking the words that Jesus spoke. They went everywhere demonstrating the power of God the same way Jesus demonstrated it. Those same disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost and went and done the works of God. And the Bible says here how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. See, you need power. And God gives power to those who seek after him. And God's purpose is that his people are anointed and filled with the Holy Ghost and have power to do the works of God. And so God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus goes about and he brings deliverance to people who were oppressed by the devil. He cast out devils. He set people free. And when we read about the Apostle Paul, he came to a place called Ephesus. And when he was in Ephesus, the miracles that Paul done became the weapon and the instrument that pulled down the worship of Diana. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says the fame of Paul had spread throughout the whole region, because they saw the demonstration of the power of God, something they had never seen all their life in the temple of Diana. And that became the instrument God used to turn the people and set the people free. The anointing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. One of the things that we must understand, the Bible is very, very clear that you have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have heaven and you have the angels of God. But then you have Satan and you have the fallen angels and you have demons. And the Bible tells us demons recognize Jesus. When you go through the Scriptures, before anyone recognized who Jesus was, the demons were crying out, "We know you. We know you. You're Jesus of Nazareth. We know who you are. You're the Son of God." See, he was carrying that anointing. And when you go to the book of Acts, you read about these sons of Sceva, this Jewish person high up in the synagogue, and they had these sons, and they saw how the apostles could cast out devils. And they thought, if they can do it, we can do it. And there were 7 of them, and they got a hold of a man. And as they got a hold of a man, they said, "We are Jew, we cast you out." And the Spirit says, "Well, I know Paul, I know Jesus." He said, "But who are you?" And the Bible said that man jumped upon these 7 guys, tore their clothes off. And I tell you, when you see somebody who needs delivered, they can have exceptional power. And the Bible tells us Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he came to destroy the works of the devil. And the works of the devil get destroyed in people's lives. The power of Satan gets broken in people's lives because you carry the anointing of God. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The oppressor is never Jesus. Read through the Gospels. Read the life of Jesus Christ. He never once oppressed anybody. But he did come against Satan. He came against the demonic. He came against those spirits that would bind people. And he brought deliverance and left the person in the right mind. Why? Because he was carrying the anointing of God. He was moving in the power of God. In Hebrews 1:9 it says, this is talking about God, you've loved righteousness, you've hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. The anointing of gladness. That anointing where there is supernatural joy and release. And Jesus had the anointing. And the Bible tells us we receive our anointing to do the same works and to have that same spirit of joy upon us, to be anointed. In 1 John 2:20 it says, but you have an unction. And of course an unction is an anointing to do something. And he says, you have an unction from the Holy One. And that unction was that the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. The anointing that you have received of the Lord Jesus Christ, that anointing abides in you. And that anointing remains in you. And that you shall abide in him. And that takes us back to John 15. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. We abide in Christ. And the life of Christ flows through us. And that anointing flows through us because we are grafted in and we have the anointing flowing through us. And so we abide in Christ and we walk in righteousness and in truth. And we abide. And 1 John 2:1 says, and now little children, abide in him. And the reason why is given, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You have the anointing abides in you. You remain in that place, abiding in Christ. And you will look with joy for that day when Jesus appears, and you will not be ashamed. The Bible goes on to talk about the anointing that breaks the yoke. In Isaiah 10:27 it says, the yoke is broken because of the anointing. And we know what a yoke is. A yoke is something that's around your neck. A yoke is a burden that weighs you down. And you are kept under its power and authority. But the anointing breaks that yoke. The anointing, as I said, is God's power, and the power of God is in his work. You ever looked in the beginning of Genesis? God spoke. Let there be light. There was light. Let there be, and there was. The power of God in his work. And one of the things which you must always remember, the psalmist has told us, that God has exalted his word above his name. So his power is in his word. God will always conform to his word. We speak his word. The anointing of God. But the anointing must be cultivated. It must be guarded, you must take care of it, and it must be activated. When you receive power, you need to release that power. You've got authority and you have power, and you need to exercise both of them. Now, we are a new creation, and of course the anointing which we have received, the condition is to abide in Christ. Abide in Jesus Christ. Now, take the anointing that was upon Peter. The Bible tells us it literally emanated from him as he walked along the street. And it was so powerful that the people would get people to just sit in the street if they knew Peter was coming along, because they looked for his shadow to go over a person. And there was healing and deliverance. Now that is an anointing that is overflowing. Think of the woman who came to Jesus and she said, "But if I could but touch him, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed." Now you think that day when Jesus is walking amongst the people, a whole crowd of people, people shoving and touching him and bumping into him. But this lady said, "But if I can touch the hem of his garment." She recognized that his garment was saturated with the anointing of God. And that garment was so infused with that anointing that was upon Jesus, it was coming from him, that she reached out and she touched that garment and she was healed. The power of God through the anointing. Think of the Apostle Paul. The anointing that he carried in his life. Saturated handkerchiefs that people would give him and he prayed over. And they sent the handkerchiefs. And they would lay these handkerchiefs upon people and people would be healed and demons would come out of people. Because the anointing cannot be contained within you. It literally, when you get the anointing of God, it literally affects all your clothes that you're wearing. It emanates from you, the anointing of God. And because of the anointing, Peter done great miracles. Paul done special miracles. The woman touching Jesus' hem knew that there was something special about that anointing. She got a revelation. Now, in 1 John 4:17 it says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world." So as he is, so are we. Jesus carried the anointing. God wants us to carry an anointing. In Habakkuk 3:4 it says, "And his brightness was as the light, and he had horns," and horns speak of authority and power, "and he had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power." So in the brightness of his light, the power of God was coming out of the hands of Jesus. And as Jesus was in the world, so are we. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth to destroy the works of the devil. God anoints his people to destroy the works of the devil. That's why you expect to leave behind you a trail of destruction in the kingdom of darkness. Because with the anointing, people are healed. Brokenhearted come to a place of healing. People in torment, there's deliverance. People with fears, it's replaced by the love of God. People in bondage, they are delivered. People in prison to addictions and all kinds of things, there is deliverance because the anointing breaks the yoke. And as he is in the world, so are we to be. We are to be those who have the anointing and walk in the anointing and that authority and power and release it into this earth. So in the midst of the sunlight splendor, there is the hiding of God's power. And we have in Matthew 6:22, I know it says, if our eye is single, then our whole body is going to be full of light. If our eye is single, we'll be full of light. We don't want to be double-minded, but we want to be focused, because the anointing of God is for purpose. The anointing of God is there because God has got the blessing upon you and he's got the calling upon you, for he has work for you to do. So notice, Jesus, when he done ministry, notice what he always done. Jesus always eliminated the problem before bringing healing. It's good to just look at how Jesus dealt with things. In Luke 13, verses 11 to 13, we have a story about a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. The Bible tells us that woman had that spirit for 18 years. And she was bowed down, she couldn't lift herself up. But when Jesus came and he saw her, he said, be loosed from that spirit of infirmity. He dealt with that demonic spirit, set her free from it. And after he'd done that, he laid his hands upon her. And as he laid his hands upon her, immediately she was made whole. So Jesus dealt with the spirit, and then he laid hands on him. He eliminated the problem, and then he released healing. And so as we're called to carry the anointing of God, we're called to come and to eliminate the problems that people have in their life, and then to release the healing of God into their life, so that they will be changed and know that I've been touched with God and that their life will be transformed. So we eliminate root problems, and then we minister the cure, we minister the word of God, we minister healing. And as I said in this story, Jesus dealt with the spirit of infirmity, cast it out, and then he released healing into the lady. So that's why we need to be single-minded, but I single when we're releasing it. Because the Bible says in Proverbs, for if one thinketh in his heart, so he is. The way you think is the way you become. And we are entering these days where God is going to release an ever-increasing level of the anointing, and God will be putting you in a place where miracles that have to be done will stretch you to the limit. Where God will be bringing you to a place and said, that person over there with no limbs, I want you to pray for them so that they will have limbs and they will be complete the way they were supposed to be. That means you're going to have to be single-minded. It means you're going to have to be focused. It means that you can't be to me, will God do it or not do it? You have to have confidence when the anointing of God is given to you, that that power gives you authority, and there is no end and no limit to the authority of the anointing of God. The anointing breaks the yoke. And this is the purpose of the anointing, to bring the life of God to people and demonstrate that Jesus is alive. It is the resurrection power of Jesus demonstrating to people, I'm alive, and I love you, and I break off of you all the works of Satan, and I bring healing and deliverance into your life. I heal, I restore, I make all things new. So we have a Savior who wants us to be spiritually minded, and not carnally minded. And Philippians says, let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded. We want to be people who know the power of the anointing and know that when we receive an anointing from God, it is for a purpose. God does not give you anointing to sit. He gives it for purpose. He gives it so that people will be delivered and set free. And so, as we have anointed this morning, it is so that there will come this separation and calling, realizing you've been called now because God has got plans and purposes, and he needs people who are filled with the Holy Spirit and anointed of God to demonstrate the works of God. In summary, you know that the anointing can be in places, it can be in people, it can be in things. Things that are holy for God, people are separated for God, people can have an anointing for a purpose, people are called with an anointing to destroy the works of darkness. And God gives liberally. He gives it freely. He gives everything free. He says, come. Come, follow me. And as we follow him and walk in the paths of righteousness, as we abide in Christ, then that anointing of God that breaks the yoke is released. And we can start to demonstrate the power of the risen Christ. How do we release the anointing? Well, we release it because we pray with our whole heart and we keep focused in Christ and we abide in Christ. And we keep our eyes single. And we keep our eyes fixed in Jesus. Knowing that the anointing is for a greater purpose than what we can imagine. The anointing is there for us to do the works of Jesus Christ. And so let's just bow. Let's just meditate for a few moments. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you for the power that and authority that is given to us. And today, as we stand in your presence, we just give you praise and worship and adoration. And thank you, Father. It is the purpose of Jesus to set people free. And so as we just come to the end of our service, those who are watching